Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
All right, you're here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, WVFF 97.7, where we go into the Bible and examine every word and every sentence, looking for all of the meanings and hidden meanings that God said He put in this book. It's not just black and white. You got to study it over and over and over again. And every time you do, you'll come away with something different. We're into the book of 2 Samuel. You know, it's a long introduction. You can go back and catch our earlier episodes on WVFFradio.com, WVFFradio.com, and catch up. There are a lot of things in this Bible your pastor never told you, because he doesn't know himself. You'd be surprised how many pastors don't actually read this book entirely. They go and they find little places they want to do a sermon on. Read one verse and do a 20-minute sermon on it. You know what? It's the Word of God. You can do a sermon out of the whole contents of this book. And you need to look in it. If you go back to our earlier episodes, you'll find a lot of things that are in here. And I don't say them unless they're in black and white and I can prove it. It's not the first time this world's been here. It was flooded at least twice already. Believe it or not, catch episode 1, two children in Eve's womb, two different fathers. It's in here. Don't come burn down the station. Let me show it to you. Catch episode 1 on WVFFradio.com. We are children of Israel came out of Egypt. Their forefathers were under the simple first covenant. And it wasn't the Ten Commandments, like your pastor said. He didn't read that part. First covenant was, follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. How easy was that? Well, the patriarchs pretty well did it. And the children of Israel did not. There was only one of them among them when they came out. Well, maybe two, Caleb. Moses and Caleb were following God. And Moses especially followed God with all his heart. But the children proved they could not do it. So God placed the law on them, and it is alive and well today for all those who do not accept Jesus Christ. You will live and die by the law. You will be cursed by the law. There's nothing good within it. God said, you don't want to do it the easy way. Follow me with all your heart. So we're going to do it the hard way. You're going to be constantly unclean by everything that you do. Even unconsciously, you can do things to be unclean, sinful. You'd be sinful by accident. Touch the doorknob of someone who recently touched it who was sinful. Believe it or not, the law is that binding.
Sinful by thought.
Yes, simple thoughts. Yeah, you pass by Ahab's tent and get a glimpse of his wife, and she's a real looker, and it's that easy. Oh, man, I wish she was my wife. You don't covet your neighbor's wife, you know. If you want to partake in the law, it will end in bondage and death and separation from God. Jesus Christ came back to give you liberty, like was under the first covenant, which was, follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. Jesus says, follow me and be baptized. How easy is that? So, children of Israel were told to go into Canaan and empty the land of all of its inhabitants, or you'll be cursed. God said that a dozen times. Moses said it. He wrote a book of remembrance so they could carry it with them and remember the things they're supposed to do, but they decided they'd rather have some of them for servants. And it was a big mistake. And within 200 years of establishing the nation of Israel, it has fallen to the gutters and worshiping other gods, just totally turning their backs on God, and it ends up in civil war. So they cry out for a king, and God didn't want to give them a king because he wanted to be their king. So he gave them Saul, who proved to be a very, very proud and incapable king. And he has just been killed, and we are into the reign of David now. Chapter 5 of the book of 2 Samuel. David has just become king. king over Judah first, and now he has united Israel with Judah, and they are one nation again under one king. And this king actually follows after God most of the time, just like you and I do, Christian. We follow after God most of the time. Don't tell me you follow him all the time.
Yeah.
You're sinning just saying that.
Yeah.
Chapter 5. Oh, maybe you're like my grandmother. She was a saint, but I'm sure she had her moments. Chapter 5. Then came all the tribes of Israel to David and to Hebron and spake, saying, Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Also in times past, when Saul was king over us, thou wast he that leddest out and brought us in Israel. And the Lord said to thee, Thou shalt feed my people, Israel. Thou shalt be a captain over Israel. So all the elders of Israel came to the king of Hebron and King David, and made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. So now he was already king over Judah. God anointed him king, but it took a while for the people to anoint him king. Had to get rid of Saul. God had to remove Saul first. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. And there is a lot of meaning there, because Christ was 30 years old when his ministry began. In Hebron he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. And the king and his men went to Jerusalem unto the Jebusites, inhabitants of the land, which spake unto David, saying, Except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in hither, thinking, David cannot come in hither. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, the same is the city of David. And David said, On that day, whosoever getteth up to the gutter and smiteth the Jebusites and the lame and the blind that are hated of David's soul, he shall be chief and captain. Wherefore, these are not lame and blind people. These are spiritually lame and blind people. David is not a heartless son of Belial.
Yes.
The original SOB from this book, son of Belial. He's not that. There's a spiritual context there. Wherefore they said, The blind and the lame shall not come into the house. David dwelt in the fort and called it the city of David. And David built round about from Milo and inward. And David went on, grew great, and the Lord God of hosts was with him. And Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messages to David and cedar trees and carpenters and masons. And they built David and house. So he knows David is going to be at one day a very powerful king, and he's going to make good with him. And David and Hiram have a very good relationship. And David perceived that the Lord had established him king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for his people Israel's sake. David took him more concubines and wives out of Jerusalem. You see where a man's priorities are. Hey, I am king. Go get me some wives and concubines. I've got 5 or 6 now, but I got a big house Hiram just built me. I got plenty of room for more. What a time that was. After he was come from Hebron, and there was yet sons and daughters born to David. These be the names of those that were born unto him in Jerusalem: Shemua, and Shobab, and Nathan, and Solomon. Ibhar also, Elishua, and Nebeg, and Zaphia, and Elishma, and Elenda, and Ephelet. And when the Philistines heard they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David, and David heard of it, and went down to the hold. So David's arch enemies, the Philistines, have heard that he is united king over all of Israel, and they're going to do something about it. Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand? And the Lord said unto David, Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand. I'll stop right there.
Mm-hmm.
Because David has bridged a gap that no one else other than Moses before him had done. You see, when Saul, when he did inquire of the Lord, he went to the prophet or the priest and inquired of the Lord. Who is this David who inquires directly of the Lord? How is that possible, Jonathan?
Yeah.
That violates the law, right?
Yeah, without having
an intercessor, priest. Yeah. But David figured this thing out long ago. He has a communion directly with God. He has bypassed the law.
No ritual. That's what I was trying to think
of. Yes, no religious and no rituals. David has somehow figured out his heart is following after God. That's why. Back when God gave Abraham the original covenant, there were no priests. Abraham and God communed. And then it all fell apart because man's heart could not follow after God. But here's a man whose heart is in contact with God, and he communes with him directly from his own bedroom. It's a bridge that a lot of people don't recognize, but that is the same bridge that Jesus Christ came back to establish.
Amen.
And David came to Baal-perazim. Oh, man, the names of these places.
Yes.
And David smote them there and said, "The Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the breach of waters." Therefore, he called the name of that place Baal-perazim. And there they left their images, and David and his men burned them. The Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Must be their favorite battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, "Thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them, come upon them over against the mulberry tree." So God says, no, let's do it different this time. Work your way around behind them. "And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of the going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that thou shalt bestir thyself, and then shalt the Lord go out before thee and smite the host of the Philistines." God is doing David's fighting. God wasn't doing Saul's fighting, because Saul was a very arrogant man. And David did so as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba until thou came to Gezer. Chapter 6, Between the Lines with David and Jonathan on WBFF 97.7. Book of 2 Samuel. Again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal to Judah, to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, and was in Gibeah. And Uzziah, oh, this is that sad little portion. Sad but necessary. And Uzziah, and it shows you the power of the law. Uzziah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. They brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark, and David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all the manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and on psaltery and on timbrels and on cornets and on cymbals. You remember back when Israel had just gotten into the promised land, Jonathan, and they had begun to fall apart, and their enemies were whomping up on them. And they said, "Oh, remember that ark thing?
Yeah,
that golden box.
That box, it can save us.
It can save us, yes, it can save us." And they weren't looking to God to save them.
Right.
They were looking to this golden box to save them. They were looking to religion to save them. Religion won't save anyone. Religion is a process. God doesn't even like religion.
Mm-mm.
God wants a spiritual connection with you, just like David had, talking directly with God. But you see here, the ark has a great meaning within the camp of Israel. But when David brings out the ark, they celebrate it. They celebrate God. They sing to him. They play instruments to him. It wasn't about bring that golden box and put it out in front of the army. It'll obviously do something. No, David is celebrating God here. When they came to Nathan's threshing floor, Uzziah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. So the oxen stumbled. It looked like the ark was going to fall. And this poor guy, just out of reaction, puts his hand up to stop the ark from falling. And And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzziah, and God smote him there for his error. And there he died by the ark of God. David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzziah, and he called the name of the place Peruzah to this day. So see, David obviously is going to be upset. That's a good man. Right. He didn't mean to trespass God.
It was one of those unaware sins.
Yes, yes. That's how binding and how rigid the law is. You don't even mean to break it. But this poor man did, and it upset David. David didn't quite understand. You know, he has such a good relationship with God. He doesn't see God as this terrifying killer of men that transgressed the law. He sees his love. There's a love relationship there. Mm-hmm. The law is a terror relationship. Mm-hmm. Do this or else. Do this or else you'll be cursed. Do this or else you'll die. David had understood it. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, "How shall the ark of the Lord come to me?" But David would not remove the ark of the Lord until him into the city of David. But David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. So David changed his plans a little bit. He was going to bring it to his city, but he said, maybe we'll leave this thing right here for a while. He needed a little more understanding. The ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.